We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a Bible question. Now, here is the question. Let me give you a little background. Moses had brought the children right up to the borders of the Promised Land, and he sent spies into the Promised Land to spy out the land and bring back a report so the people would know the kind of land they were going to and some of the challenges they would face. Now, here is the question. It's a two-part question, and both of them have to do with the period of time. Number one, how many days were the spies gone? From the time they left Moses, spied out the land, and returned, how many days? And second, what was the significance of that time later in this story? And when you hear the answer, you'll understand why I ask it in that fashion. And so that's the question. How many days were the spies gone, and what was the significance of them being gone that many days as it relates later in that story? The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now the question, how many days were the spies gone from Moses when they went to spy out the land? And I will read the answer to you. Numbers chapter 13, 25. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. 40 days. Now what was the significance of that? We find it in the next chapter. Numbers chapter 14. Let me read verses 33 and 34. And your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years. And you shall bear your whoredoms until your dead bodies be consumed in the wilderness, after the number of days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days, for every day a year, shall you bear your iniquities even 40 years, and you shall know my alienation. So the spies were gone for 40 days, and they came back with a report. It is indeed a blessed land, a beautiful land, but they've got walls around their cities, and they're giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers before them. And the children of Israel murmured and complained like they wanted to go back to Egypt. And so the punishment. Okay, then wander in the wilderness for 40 years. During that 40 years, all the adult children of Israel above the age of 20 died. All except Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that came back with a good report saying we can take that land. And so the answer was they wandered in the wilderness 40 years, a year for a day. Let me read to you from Elam's notes. These are Sunday school lessons that he prepared on this old Bible story for the Sunday schools of October the 10th, 1926. And it's about the spies ascent. At this time, the children of Israel had been out of Egypt about 15 months and were near the border of the Promised Land. These spies were sent from Kadesh Barnea. As we have seen, it was in the wilderness of Paran, which extended along the southern border of Canaan. These spies were sent at the request of the children of Israel, which Moses said pleased me well, Deuteronomy 1:22-23. God approved this and commanded Moses to do it. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a prince among them, and all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Numbers 13, verses 1-3. There were then 12 spies. None from the tribe of Levi, but one from the tribe of Ephraim, and one from the tribe of Manasseh. Those were the two sons of Joseph. Their names are given in Numbers 13, 14 through 16. They were to go by the south and into the hill country. These spies to report the condition of the land, whether productive or not, whether timbered or not, and the cities and how they were fortified, and the people and their strength. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, which would be about the last of summer or the beginning of fall. Now the work of the spies. The spies went and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob unto the entrance of Harmath. And they went up by the south and came into Hebron, Numbers 13, 21 and 22. Hamath was the northern limit of the country assigned to the Israelites. Solomon's dominion extended from the entrance of Hamath unto the brook of Egypt. Well, the spies viewed the land from one extremity to the other, and came to the valley of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it upon a staff between the two. Perhaps the chief reason for carrying this cluster was to prevent crushing it. In Clark's commentary, it speaks of grapes as large as plums and a bunch at Damascus which weighed more than 40 pounds. Bunches in other places would have been found to weigh 20 pounds or even more. This valley was called Eshcol from the circumstance because Eshcol means a cluster. Those who know the fruit say of this valley it is very fine. The spies carried also figs and pomegranates. The spies were 40 days in doing this work, and they brought back a good report. In Exodus 13, 26 and 27 we read, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came into a land whither thou sentest us, and it surely floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Having done their work, the spies returned to Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, where the children of Israel had remained while they were gone. They reported unto Moses and the Aarons about the land filled with milk and honey, and we'll learn more of this good land from Joshua and Caleb later on in the story. But that was not the only report. There was an evil report. Numbers 13, 28 and 29. "Howbeit the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwelleth in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea, and along the side of Jordan." The word "howbeit" turned the attention of the people from the good report above to the evil report which follows. They presented four reasons they could not take the country. One, the people are strong. Two, the cities are fenced and very great. Three, there are giants there. And four, these different nations occupy the country in these different parts. Amalekites were the descendants of Esau. We read about them in Genesis 36, 9 through 12. They were roving people. The Israelites had already overcome them, and God had already declared unceasing war with Amalek. All these nations fainted or melted away before Joshua when Joshua took command of Israel. Jericho was one of those walled cities, and it fell down by faith, even if the Israelites did not possess battering rams which to tear it down. Joshua also destroyed the Anakim. The children of Anak were giants. Some were left in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Goliath was of Gath. He was 6 cubits in the span. That is, he was a little over 9 feet tall. The Canaanites descended from Ham, and from them the country received its name. And they brought an evil report. We read in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we're able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out to the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight as grasshoppers." Well, that's that evil report. But now Joshua and Caleb, let me catch where I am. Here, they brought an evil report. Evil, because in part they misrepresented the country, as in this verse, "a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." They may have meant by this that it was not helpful, or more likely that the contending nations devoured one another. The report was also evil in the rebellious effects it had on the people. The Nephilim, the sons of Anak, were giants, besides whom the Hebrews were as grasshoppers. This doubtless seemed to these cowardly spies. Of the Amorites, the Lord says, "Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of cedars, and he was strong as the oaks," Amos 2 and verse 9. The inhabitants of the land were strong, robust, warlike people. It has been suggested that the long servitude of the Israelites may have cramped their growth. But then we read of Joshua and Caleb. Their reply to this evil report was inspiring. The report greatly aroused the people, but Caleb, one of the spies, stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we're able to overcome it." Joshua, another one of the spies, joined Caleb in this, as seen from chapters 14. Caleb doubtless spoke first. Caleb is called the Kizanite, and it is said of him that he wholly followed Jehovah, the God of Israel. Othniel, his brother, is called the son of Kenaz. It is also said, in dividing the country between the tribes, "And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a portion among the children of Judah," Joshua 15:13. Hence, it is thought by some that Caleb was a proselyte who became identified with the tribe of Judah. He drove out from Hebron the three sons of Anak, Sheshiah and Ahiman and Talmai, Joshua 15:14. Thus, he demonstrated his declaration in our lesson. The other 10 tribes replied to him that they were not able to go up against the people, giving the reason, "Well, they're stronger than we are." And the effect of this evil report was evil. Chapter 14, which we read, gives the effect of this evil report upon the people and the results of their rebellion. They cried and wept that night. Then all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness." Two magnanimous spirits with courage worthy of their cause stood out against these murmurers and complainers. And that, of course, was Joshua and Caleb. We're going to have to continue this story in our next class, but we're going to remember Joshua and Caleb. They become heroes in the book of Joshua.